Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days, a 101-night sleep trial, and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices, up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep, upgrade your life. Ghostbed, the coolest beds in the world.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live here on Football Full Circle, Sirius XM Channel 159, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network as well. It's a Thursday live here on FFC. I am Ben Stevens alongside the mastermind of the pigskin. It is Joe Lisi as well. Lisi, glad to have you here on a Thursday. Let's get rocking and rolling.
No, this is what it's all about, Ben, right? We're starting to get storylines taken in place, not just in college football, but the NFL. What's the situation with Cleveland, Deshaun Watson? On the college side, we saw Sam Pittman sign a contract extension in Fayetteville. Oh, baby, the plot thickens for both the NFL and college football. I can't wait for this coming season.
Absolutely so. Under 100 days away, 98 to be exact, from the start of a new season in the National Football League. Just 86, Lisi. A 12-day difference there. Just 86 days away from the start of a new college football campaign as well. Saturday, August 27th is the beginning, week number zero. But unfortunately, Joe, we start today with a little bit of somber news. You remember him as Marion the Barbarian. Marion Barber, found dead yesterday at the age of 38, a former running back for the Dallas Cowboys, a former running back for the Chicago Bears as well. Many seasons in the NFL, and Joe, also a highlight in the Big Ten Conference. That backfield at Minnesota in the early 2000s of Lawrence Maroney and the double-headed monster mixed in with Marion Barber was certainly a sight to remember from his college football days as well, sadly passing away at the age of 38. Lisi, what will you remember most from Marion Barber's time on the gridiron?
Just a blue-collar, hard, intense player. That's basically what Marion Barber was. Whatever he was asked to do, not just in Minnesota, with Glenn Mason for the Golden Gophers, with Lawrence Maroney, the dynamic 1,000-yard rusher punch that the Golden Gophers had, but in the NFL, in Chicago, whether it be special teams or Dallas, go back and look at the highlight of a 2-yard rush. I don't know the year, but they put it up on the Dallas Cowboy website where it took about 7 guys to get Marion Barber down. They had him pinned in the end zone, and all he did was break the tackles and bust loose for a 3-yard gain. That's what he exemplified in terms of his play. 38 years old, gone way too soon, and, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to the Barber family and household.
Yeah, certainly so, Joe. Obviously, you know me as Big Ten Ben. I wasn't necessarily Big Ten Ben when Lawrence Maroney and Marion Barber were dominating backfields within the Big Ten Conference, but all that you remember from those highlights of that ground-and-pound type style that the Golden Gophers exemplified, that's Big Ten football right there. When you have the law firm in Lawrence Maroney, and then you have Marion the Barbarian and Marion Barber, that's a 1-2 punch with the best of them that we have seen, Lisi, for quite some time in college football, and one that we will certainly remember from his CFB days, his Big Ten days, and of course taking on that punishing old school blue collar style into the NFL. Was a fan favorite across his time in the league, Joe. That's how you earn the nickname Marion the Barbarian. Probably one of the best we have come to know in the last decade or so in the National Football League.
And he was a physical specimen, always came to camp in shape, hard worker, not just on the field, but obviously in the weight room as well. And you think of Minnesota as a whole, Ben, right? Big Ten Ben, they have had a history, at least in the early part of the decade, in terms of 2000, 1999, of having elite running backs. Thomas yep. Hamner, you had Gary Russell, Thomas Tepe was another one when they played in the Sun Bowl against the Oregon Ducks. So Glenn Mason really predicated and built that team on a foundation of running the football. That's where, you know, 3 yards and a cloud of dust came in terms of the landscape of the Big Ten Conference. So sorry yep. to see him go. Again, gone way too early. We've seen now Haskins move on at 25 years of age for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and a former player in terms of Marion Barber III that is gone. And again, may his soul rest in peace.
Absolutely so. Played 7 NFL seasons, 6 with the Dallas Cowboys, 1 with the Chicago Bears. The Dallas Cowboys releasing a statement yesterday saying, quote, "We are heartbroken by the tragic death of Marion Barber III. Marion was an old school, hard-nosed football player who ran with the will to win every down. He had a passion for the game and love for his coaches and teammates. Our hearts go out to Marion's family and friends during this difficult time." Certainly a difficult time and gone far too soon, only at the age of 38. Marion Barber is somebody we will remember for that hard-nosed style of running the football that we love in the game of football. And certainly, although we have, Joe, shotgun-style formation, spread offenses, where running that hard-nosed style is maybe a thing of the past, the I formation maybe not as utilized as it once was, that's why we all got into football, to see that passion, to see that aggressiveness, and we will remember Marion Barber certainly so.
Yeah, and when you look at the college game as well, teams that effectively run the football, Ben, ultimately win football games. It comes down to running the football and being able to shut down the run. When you do that, obviously you put your opponent in third down and long situations, and you're giving your offense an opportunity to score points. So thoughts and prayers to the whole Minnesota Golden Gopher family, and more importantly, Dallas Cowboys and Chicago Bears as well.
Certainly so. A Pro Bowler back in 2007 for Marion Barber. That year, 975 rushing yards and 10 touchdowns for the Dallas Cowboys. Plenty more to get to here on Football Full Circle on this Thursday, live on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. We'll be back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Football Full Circle, live on a Thursday on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. And Joe, OTAs continue for teams around the National Football League, organized team activities. We had some no-shows last week, a couple of faces now back at camp, and the changing landscape of the league and for these organizations as well. Myles Garrett speaking to the media yesterday following practice for the Cleveland Browns in regards to Cleveland's, it seems, former quarterback, although Baker Mayfield has not left Cleveland as of yet. But the former Browns starting quarterback was asked about, or he was asked about, to Myles Garrett. And Joe, Myles Garrett saying that he expects Baker Mayfield to land on his feet. People come and go. This is one of those changes, said Garrett, speaking about Baker Mayfield. He just has to find his niche again. I think he has to prove himself, has to get healthy. But Joe, as we know, the Browns haven't traded Baker Mayfield away. He is still a member of the Cleveland Browns organization, but there is a clear schism between those two sides. Baker Mayfield, after the Browns went about and even expressed their interest in acquiring Deshaun Watson, saying they had moved on from Baker. Well, Baker refused to play for Cleveland and asked for a trade himself, but yet to be dealt to a different NFL organization. The temperature around the league and the interest in Baker hasn't necessarily been all that high. What do you expect the end result of this schism between Cleveland and Baker to be?
Well, I think ultimately he'll be on another organization, whether they a team trades for him or they ultimately release him before the start of training camp. And it is pretty interesting that Myles Garrett, now they were both back-to-back number one overall draft picks for the Cleveland Browns, offensively and defensively, right? With Baker taken in 2017 and then 18 and with Myles Garrett, that, you know, he says he's going to land on his feet. A similar situation almost like to Sam Darnold, right? Where he goes from the New York Jets now to the Carolina Panthers, starts last year and obviously falls off a cliff. Is that the type of situation or result for Baker Mayfield? I don't know, but I can tell you this, Ben, right now, I am a little shocked that teams in need of a quarterback aren't even actively shopping. Now, I understand the price tag coming along with Baker Mayfield, but if you're going to buck up money and get, let's say, a backup, Jacoby Brissett or anybody else, I mean, Sean Mannion for the Minnesota Vikings, you're telling me you wouldn't take a shot, Drew Lock with Seattle? You wouldn't take a shot on Baker Mayfield to find maybe lightning in a bottle with a new organization or a new landscape? It's just shocking to me. I mean, Davis Mills with Houston, we talked about this. You shipped Deshaun Watson to Cleveland. Why wouldn't you have asked for Baker Mayfield in return? At least you could fill ass in the seats in terms of Houston. The kid played at Texas Tech and Oklahoma, respectively. Maybe you get fans buying back into Baker, playing back home. It just doesn't make any sense to me at this point.
It's a good point, right? Like in that deal where the Cleveland Browns sent three first-round picks in exchange to Houston for Deshaun Watson, was there any talk about maybe adding Baker Mayfield into the crop? Would Houston even have cared? Obviously, three first-round picks seem a lot more valuable than Baker Mayfield even at this stage of his career. And as Myles Garrett said yesterday, Joe, and as we have seen, Baker played last year with a torn labrum in his shoulder. He was clearly not healthy, banged up a ton, and has been a little bit injured throughout the early portion of his NFL career. So it's about getting healthy, and maybe teams are waiting to see just exactly how healthy Baker Mayfield will be emerging out of this offseason. Would it have been worth it for Houston to take on Baker's contract to bring him in to the Texans locker room right now? I think the question is, Joe, if you're Baker Mayfield, where do you want to go? Where would you see yourself if given the opportunity? You're trying not to compete for a starting job or to be a backup, especially with all the money in your contract, but to be the guy, to be that number one starter. And I think, Joe, as it pertains just to this Texans conversation, Houston's pretty high on Davis Mills. Ended the year in a really promising way. They bring back Pep Hamilton as their offensive coordinator, who's seen as this quarterback guru, if you will, that really brought Davis Mills along in his rookie campaign. Yes, it's a new head coach, technically, in Lovie Smith now taking over the reins in Texas as compared to David Culley, but Lovie was the defensive coordinator last year. So it's a lot of the same organizational pieces. And I think, frankly, Joe, when you're the Houston Texans and you don't really have much to play for this year, you see if Davis Mills, who you spent a third-round draft pick on two seasons ago, is worth anything in his second year in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I think there's only a number of teams that can entertain Baker Mayfield. And you brought up Davis Mills. I mean, you mentioned it last year with Cully. It's shocking that he got let go in favor of Lovie Smith when they were 8-8 against the number, knocked off Tennessee as a double-digit underdog on the road, right? 10.5 points. They go into Nashville on a 5-game winning streak, the Titans were, and they abused them, I think, 24-13. They went toe-to-toe with the New England Patriots as well. So there were signs under Davis Mills that the offense could move the football. They re-signed Brandon Cooks to an extended deal, so there are some playmakers there. They have no running game either, so that's the one thing. In order to really alleviate some of the stress on Davis Mills or wherever the quarterback is, they need a more consistent offensive line, number one, and they need a better running game. They need to stay in manageable third downs. But let me ask you this, Ben, when you look at Baker, all right, so let's say Houston is not the proper fit. You give Davis Mills a long-term look, right, over the next year or so. What do we get out of Tua? Because I'm a Dolphin fan. We know that there's marked time, and he's on borrowed time. It's this year or no year for basically Tua and the offense, okay? You have Tyreek Hill. You have Jalen Waddle. You have Gesicki, the big three. I mean, this looks like a Kansas City type of offense. There are no more excuses, right? You have McDaniel, the offensive mind now that takes over for Flores, a defensive-minded head coach, and Teddy Bridgewater's backing up Tua that I still think could be a starter in the NFL. But what about Baker Mayfield in Miami? I mean, would you give Tua and Mayfield equal ground at this point in their career? I mean, I would. I don't think Tua's wowed anybody up until this point. I know he's won ball games, but you know what? That's been more due to Brian Flores than so much Tua and his development at this stage of his career.
It's a really good point, right? How do we evaluate some of these other quarterbacks that seem to be in spots of having a little bit of success or at least optimism in comparison to Baker Mayfield? Entering this past season, Joe, in 2021, after Baker led the Browns to the playoffs in 2020, there was a ton of optimism around Cleveland. There's a ton of optimism around the Browns again for this 2022 NFL season. There's been a ton of optimism around Cleveland really for the past three or four off seasons, and that hype that continues to build that hasn't necessarily truly been honored or established, the Browns only making the playoffs in 2020. So how do we evaluate Baker then in comparison to some of these other quarterbacks? Now Tua has everything set out for him. He has all of the weapons at his disposal that you could really want at this point to get Tyreek Hill, to have Jalen Waddle. But what is that expectation, Joe? Because the Miami Dolphins have very long odds relatively to win their own division. The Miami Dolphins right now are plus 142 to make the postseason in what we know is an incredibly competitive conference, Joe, in the AFC. I'm not expecting the Fins to even really have a shot at the playoffs, frankly. And that's nothing necessarily against Tua or Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle or anything that goes into place in Miami now with Mike McDaniel as the head coach, although I still believe Brian Flores should be the head man there for the Dolphins organization. That's nothing really against Miami, their current roster, current coaching staff, or anything that's been constructed. It's just the nature of the AFC this year. So what is that expectation? When you had Baker the last 3 years thinking it's playoffs or bust for the Cleveland Browns, an organization that not necessarily had those expectations in years past, is 8 wins good enough for Tua to be like, hey, yeah, we'll give him another run? Like, what does Tua need to hit, Joe, I guess, is what I'm saying to you that makes you feel like, hey, he's our guy moving forward, or hey, there's at least another chance to let him run. We'll continue that conversation because it's very interesting when you look at those over-under win totals for teams around the NFL, like the Houston Texans, like the Miami Dolphins, for teams that aren't necessarily seen as a real playoff contender. We continue this breakdown up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Back right here on Football Full Circle, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's the Sports Grid Radio Network, and it's Joe Lisi, and it's Ben Stevens. We are here with you on this Thursday. Joe, we just were having the conversation, and I think it's important for quarterbacks across the league. Maybe some of that young promise and where they can go. But where exactly are we hoping or expecting them even to go? Because, Joe, we're talking about Tua Tagovailoa. You brought this up because the main storyline we were discussing was Myles Garrett, after Cleveland Browns OTA's practice yesterday, saying that he expects Baker Mayfield to land on his feet. But Baker Mayfield right now, his feet are at least still in the Browns organization, although I doubt he ever plays another game again for Cleveland. But last year, the expectation after 2020 was for Baker to lead the Browns back to the postseason. It's what they did in the 2020 season. It was all the offseason hype continuing to build for Cleveland once more. And you said, is Baker really that much worse than Tua Tagovailoa? If you were to put them out there in the same offense with Tyreek Hill now and Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki and all the talent they have in South Beach, would we expect Tua to perform all that much at a higher level than Baker Mayfield? And I think it's a great point, right? Because what is that expectation? The Finns to make the postseason once again, Lisi, plus 142. And again, that might not be about Tua's performance or Miami overall, but just the fact they play in the AFC, which is going to be a gauntlet of a conference to even sniff a potential chance of making the postseason. The Dolphins team win total, Joe, is 8.5. The over has the juice at minus 130, so I guess the expectation is 9 wins for Tua in the Fins this year, but is that good enough? Lisi, as a Dolphins fan, if Tua Tagovailoa led the Miami Dolphins to a 9-8 record in 2022, but they did not qualify for the AFC postseason, would you be satisfied?
No, absolutely not. It's playoffs or bust, so forget the team total. They need to get to the playoffs. The reason why Mike McDaniel is in South Beach right now is for Tua. Right now. That is the main reason. Now, you know, I was a big backer of Brian Flores. I love that hard-ass approach. You know why? Because everybody was accountable. Nobody was off limits. If you don't perform, we put next man up. And that's why he pulled Tua in a number of games a couple of times last year, right? Or the year before, where he was on the road in Denver. He pulled him for Ryan Fitzpatrick. He was on the road in Las Vegas. He pulled him again for Fitzpatrick because, you know what? It was do or die. Brian Flores wanted to get to the playoffs. And love him or hate him, I will say this about Brian Flores. He beat Bill Belichick twice last year. You know, we don't give Brian Flores enough credit for having his teams prepared. So when we look at big picture right now, the only bet I'm willing to say is plus 142 for the playoffs. It's do or die for Tua. Either he's going to get them there with this offense or he's not. And for Mike McDaniel, consider this. Like I mentioned, Brian Flores knocked off Belichick twice last year and had a very good coaching record against the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. What is Bill Belichick's record against rookie coaches? So think about that. Now, all of a sudden, now that might be two losses. We know that they're going to lose both games to the Buffalo Bills because the Bills are built that much better than the Dolphins in the interior. So there's four losses right there. The only games that are winnable in the division, in my opinion, right here, right now, are the New York Jets. And maybe that's a toss-up at this point.
It's a great point, Joe. And again, if it's playoffs or bust, but you're not favored to make the playoffs, it's not the longest odds ever. It's only plus 142. It's less than a dollar and a half. It's still very difficult in this year's iteration of the AFC, in my opinion, to expect Miami to qualify for the postseason. It's going to be such an arduous task, Joe. Not really because of Tua or Jalen or Tyreek Hill or anything on the defensive side of the football either, or Mike McDaniel as a rookie head coach. It's going to be because when you stack them up against the rest of the competition in that conference, when you take all four teams out of the AFC West division, at least two or three of the teams in the AFC North, and frankly, you can't forget about the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then I think, Joe, the beneficiaries in the AFC South of the Colts, who are the favorites right now to win that division, or maybe even the Titans just competing in the weaker or the weakest, I would say, of the four divisions within the conference of the AFC, they might be able to rack up some wins against the Houston Texans or the Jacksonville Jaguars to have that overall record look pretty good and maybe a run to the wild card. And we just discussed it a little bit too, Joe. Like, why wasn't Baker included in the deal that sent Deshaun Watson from Houston to Cleveland? Were the Texans not intrigued, or are they putting all their chips in with Davis Mills? But what do all of their chips mean, Joe, when Houston's team win total is 4.5? It's 4.5, and the under has the juice at minus 115. Just slightly. It's only 10 cents of difference from the over at minus 105. But that 4.5 has the juice, Joe, at minus 115. So when the Houston Texans are expected to win 4 or 5 games, what is Davis Mills really showing you, except maybe a competitive level that you want to highlight moving forward?
Well, let's look at the Houston as a whole, Ben, right? Let's look at the big picture. They had Deshaun Watson there, one of the most elite quarterbacks in terms of the NFL, dual threat, right? They had J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. They had an identity. What's the identity of the Houston Texans right now? They're as bland as just a piece of bread. Lovie Smith is not a polarizing head coach. He's an older head coach, couldn't get it done in Champaign with the Fighting Illini. That's why, in my opinion, I thought to bring in a player like Baker Mayfield, all of a sudden, okay, love him or hate him, now you have an identity. He's a local kid. So now the team can buy in. That 4.5 win total, let's say Davis Mills gets them to 6 wins. Does that do anything for your organization? Are you going to sell any tickets that way? Are they going to have sellouts each and every week? No. But you bring in Baker Mayfield. He comes in with a chip on his shoulder. There's no pressure in terms of getting back to the playoffs. He can build a foundation for 2 or 3 years, and now you maybe potentially have a face of the franchise. I don't know why they didn't do that.
The Texans are a terribly run organization. That's probably why. Nick Caserio hasn't necessarily been the greatest general manager, and Bill O'Brien before that, absolutely dismantling all of that optimism that Houston had assembled in the late 2010s when they, in 2018 and 2019, were contending for the postseason each and every year. Yeah, that's gone right now. And Joe brought this up earlier. The Texans were the worst rushing offense in the NFL a season ago. 83.6 yards per game only. Only 83.6 yards per game on the ground. So if it's not Davis Mills, you really have no identity. And why not give Baker Mayfield that chance when there's not that pressure or relative expectation that he's faced fairly or unfairly with the Cleveland Browns the last 3 off seasons? I mean, Joe, in 2020, the Browns were going to be a Super Bowl team. In 2021, they still had the opportunity to be a postseason team within that AFC North. They just didn't live up to that expectation really either of the years, but at least they made the playoffs in 2020. Joe, where do you think Baker Mayfield is an upgrade right now? Is it Atlanta?
Seattle.
And Seattle? Drew Locke? Yeah. I was going to say, that was going to be pretty much the 3 teams I was going to pitch to you. Atlanta, Seattle, or maybe Detroit over Jared Goff. But that's where I would look, or that's where I would think Baker Mayfield has the best shot to make an impact, to not just be a backup, but to at least compete for the starting job and probably be better than the starter that's currently in place. Why Seattle your first focus?
Well, because I think Seattle is an intriguing area or team because they have DK Metcalf, they have Tyler Lockett, they have Noah Fant now, and you have a rushing attack with Kenneth Walker and Rashad Penny, who could be just as dynamic as Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. So it sort of fits the mold that Baker's already played in terms of Cleveland, right? I mean, to me, that's a perfect fit right there. He's a feisty player. They got the 12th man in terms of the stadium perspective, and Pete Carroll. Carroll's a coach that maybe can get the most out of Baker Mayfield. He's an experienced guy. He's played with polarizing players. He knows how to maybe channel that. So I think Seattle's a perfect opportunity. And I would throw Carolina in there. I know they didn't want him, but he's definitely an upgrade to Sam Darnold. Now, Matt Corral, I love. I think, and you believe as well, he potentially will be the starter. He left OTAs this week with a family situation. He didn't get into it. He's out of camp. Hopefully he returns soon. But he's still a rookie. So, you know, I think those are the 4 that you touched on. My first one would be Seattle, Atlanta, Detroit, Carolina, and I would throw in Houston into that mix as well.
I think you bring up a great point. And like the Texans, Joe, the point you just made about relative expectation, they've got a 4.5 team win total. They're not expected to make the playoffs. Who cares if Baker goes there and wins you 5 games if you're not expecting the most? At least it would drive some conversation. I think right now, Joe, because Seattle, although they lose Russell Wilson, they lose some of the staples of the Seahawks that we have known, and Bobby Wagner now in LA as well for the Rams, that there's still some talent on that team, right? Offensively, for sure. We know Pete Carroll just wants to run the football. That's why you have Chris Carson and Rashad Penny. And you drafted Kenneth Walker III maybe earlier than you should have with all of the running backs you already have on your roster. But you have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, a great 1-2 punch in a wide receiver core in the National Football League. But there's not a lot of excitement right now with Drew Lock being your guy, or maybe Geno Smith behind him. If you brought in Baker, fair or unfair, Joe, proven or not, there would be some excitement. There would be some hope that maybe Baker could rise up the talent to both DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett in Seattle. That the 5.5 team win total for Seattle and the over has the juice at minus 135. Again, the relative low expectation for the Seahawks next year in the NFC West might give Baker that necessary buffer that he needs to try to find some relative success in the NFL. It makes sense to me, Joe. I think we got to get on the horn with Pete Carroll and the boys up there in the Pacific Northwest, because it might at least bring some excitement to what feels like the end of an era in Seattle for Pete Carroll. Now that Russ and Bobby and all those guys are gone, maybe there is some excitement with Baker Mayfield. Some more quarterback news from around the National Football League continues next year on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
The National Football League. OTAs continue across the league this week. We've seen some quarterbacks back at practice. We break that down right now on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. Alongside Joe Lisi, the mastermind of the pigskin, I am Ben Stevens. Joe, Josh Allen, back in Buffalo for practice at OTAs today, finishing up in Las Vegas last night around 10:30 p.m. Eastern time in the match against Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady alongside his partner, Patrick Mahomes. It came down to the 12th and final hole. Aaron Rodgers buries a birdie. It goes to the elder statesman instead of the young bucks. But that's commitment right there for Josh Allen and the Bills to already be circling the wagons back in Buffalo at practice.
Well, put it this way, Ben. You don't be plus 350 to win the AFC and not need your quarterback in OTAs, right? He can't Amen. Just be out at the win in Las Vegas, you know, chumming it up with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Mahomes, all of his competition this year, and not get your ass back to practice, you know, for McDermott and the crew. So that's a great sign for the Buffalo Bills. He had to do it. Let's be honest, Ben, because if he was out of practice today, all of a sudden the question marks and uncertainty regarding that bet would have been on the Buffalo Bills and their signal caller this year.
I would have thought he was going to enjoy a nice steak dinner somewhere in Vegas, probably take a recommendation from Joe Lisi, go kick it by the pool, live up the finer things out there ahead of the match. Maybe he was doing that beforehand, but a quick turnaround to get back to Buffalo. It's interesting because Josh Allen made a joke on the broadcast yesterday on TNT about Aaron Rodgers, who was getting really hot and playing some pretty good golf, and he said that's what you're able to do when you're skipping OTAs. So Aaron Rodgers, not at Packers OTA, but not for any schism between him and the front office, just because Aaron's 37 years old now and maybe sees himself more as a veteran and doesn't need to be at OTAs right now across the league. But to echo Joe's point here, Buffalo booked as a favorite to win the AFC at plus 350, the favorites to win Super Bowl 57 as well right now, plus 650, a dollar ahead of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at plus 750 as well. Joe, when you look at four of the top five odds right now to win next year's Super Bowl, it's those four quarterbacks in Tom, Aaron, Josh, and Patrick that all played yesterday. The only other team there, Matthew Stafford and the LA Rams to repeat at 11-1. I don't know if Stafford was out on the golf course yesterday knocking it around. Josh Allen, not the greatest day on the links, but now back on the football field, Joe, and when you look at the Buffalo Bills, they actually have, by relative terms, the highest team win total in all of the NFL this year. It's 11.5. It's the same number shared by the Bucks, but the juice is the difference here. Again, only 5 cents, I understand. But the over for Buffalo is minus 115. It's even juice, minus 110 on both sides for Tampa Bay. So technically here, Joe, the Buffalo Bills with the highest team win total in the NFL at 11.5.
And I think they should be. Now, let's keep in mind, last year was Kansas City 12.5 plus 125, I think, to the over. FanDuel had it at the start of the year. They won 12 ball games, went 12-5, right?
Yep.
I mean, I look at this FanDuel page, and they put up some great bets, and that's why we love FanDuel in terms of what they do. Buffalo Bills, I mean, to me, is a sure thing, 10-7 at least, in terms of to win 10 regular season games, minus 450. I mean, to me, I can't see any way, unless obviously a major injury, okay, that Josh Allen and the crew don't get there. So I think they're still the best team in the NFL entering this year. Their ability to chuck it and run it, not just with Singletary, but with Josh Allen at the helm, obviously dual threat. He's as dangerous as anybody. And, you know, in the postseason, he showed me something, right? He went toe-to-toe with Pat Mahomes, didn't do anything to lose that ball game in Arrowhead. It was the defense couldn't hold their end of the bargain. So you would have to think that entering this year, minus 180 to win the AFC East as well, I think is definitely a gimme. And I love them over the 11.5 as well.
I mean, the best odds of any team in any division within the AFC right now to win their actual division. Minus 180 is very strong, especially when you look at all the plus money prices in the AFC West and the AFC North. Those six teams that we expect, or maybe even seven, if you want to include the Raiders there in the AFC West, probably the Bills' biggest competition from the overall standpoint of the AFC. Buffalo found something on the ground late in the year. It was truly masterful to watch that offense orchestrate by Brian Daboll, who is now the new head coach, of course, for the New York Giants, but utilizing Josh Allen and his athleticism, bringing in Devin Singletary, Zach Moss getting involved in the fold as well. Buffalo ended as the sixth best rushing offense in all of the National Football League a season ago, and it wasn't great, Joe, by any means, in that wonderful AFC divisional round that we saw a season ago, but prior to that, the Buffalo Bills had the best scoring defense in the NFL, only allowing their opponents to score on average 18.3 points per game. So we expect that defense, with the addition of Von Miller, to be near the top five once again in the NFL. It's why Buffalo has all of the optimism this year, despite faltering technically to Kansas City in that divisional round game, allowing the Chiefs to host an AFC title game for the fourth consecutive season. And Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen played together yesterday. They had a little conversation before the day got underway. Pat having a little fun with his teammate Josh Allen. When he was asked about his biggest fear, that being of Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes said probably a coin toss. And that's why we have a change in the overtime rules now for the NFL postseason. But Joe, as we talk about quarterbacks here, Josh Allen already back in practice, showing the commitment to the craft, if you will. Last week, when voluntary OTAs began, Kyler Murray was not at practice for the Arizona Cardinals, but as of yesterday, Kyler has checked in for the Cards. Is that a sign of optimism that things are getting better between the front office and Kyler Murray here in this offseason?
I think it is. I also think it's Kyler Murray recognizing that in order for him to produce consistently, he needs more practice. Let's be honest, a lot of moving parts last year. Once DeAndre Hopkins went down in the second half of the season, was Kyler Murray as effective? He wasn't. And it showed in that wild card loss to Matt Stafford and the LA Rams. Now he brings his college teammate Marquise Brown over from the Baltimore Ravens. DeAndre Hopkins is out now for six games with the PED suspension. So in order for Kyler Murray to hit the ground running the way he did last year, 7-0 to start the year, he needs practice. Let's be honest. And if I'm Kyler Murray, forget the contract right now. I want to step up and I want to solidify my legacy, because right now it's a lot of negativity and coming from yours truly, because I wouldn't back Kyler Murray in a big spot after watching that game against Matt Stafford last year. He folded like an accordion. And it wasn't just the fact that they lost. It was the fact of the body language. He didn't show his true leadership skills. He was sulking on the sidelines. And you know what? That's not a true elite quarterback. He might have all the physical tools. He might have the most athleticism, like Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts. But you know what? The leadership skills are lacking right now. I think Jalen Hurts at this point in his career shows more poise and more leadership skills than Kyler Murray has at this point.
And it's going to be so fascinating to monitor what Kyler Murray does for Arizona this year. DeAndre Hopkins not going to be there for the first six games of the year, suspended due to breaking the PED regulations within the NFL. Christian Kirk, no longer a member of the Arizona Cardinals. He's in Jacksonville after a big payday this offseason as well. There are so many question marks, Joe, in my opinion, for Kyler Murray and the rest of Arizona. And will Kyler get the payday that he expects at some point this offseason as well? We're seeing slight bits of movement, Joe. I wonder if it's us moving the market once more on the NFC West. We have been highlighting all the value you can get with the Los Angeles Rams, given the question marks for the other three teams in this division as it compares to the reigning Super Bowl champions. They were plus 140 yesterday, Joe, on this Thursday, live here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And now, as we report it to you on Football Full Circle, the Rams are plus 130. 10 cents off that price. A little bit of market movement in LA's favor. San Francisco was plus 185 yesterday. They're now plus 190. And the Cardinals, Joe, were plus 310 yesterday. 10 cents of movement against Arizona at plus 320. Again, Arizona is plus 320 to win its own division. The Cardinals were in pole position through a good majority of 2021 to be the divisional champs in the NFC West. Then they lost three of their last four games, including as a 6.5-point favorite, week number 18 against the Seattle Seahawks, losing that game outright. So there's a lot, I would think, pessimism more so, Joe, for Arizona. 10 cents of movement against their number, but at least a little movement working against the Cards.
And think about this, big picture, right? Forget wins, forget division title, just to make the playoffs minus 116 to the no. That tells you perception right there, right? And the team has progressed under Kyler Murray. We talked about it about a week and a half ago with Cliff Kingsbury. The amount of pressure that's on Kingsbury and Murray right now is astronomical when you consider the fact that in year one, they were 5-10-1. They progressed to 8-8, and then they progressed to 11 wins. They went from fourth to third to second in the division. And unless Kingsbury and Kyler Murray get back to the playoffs, there's the perception, at least, that Kingsbury might not be the guy to take them to the promised land. Can you imagine that in terms of three games of progression year after year after year, and he might not have a job next season?
It is crazy, Joe, and a lot of people around the Arizona Cardinals organization as it pertains to fans and media members have questioned Cliff Kingsbury's ability to actually manage a football game as a successful head coach. Joe, I was looking at Arizona's team win total just a second ago. It's 9.5, and the over is plus money at plus 135, and you brought up this market. It's a wonderful market and all the opportunities that FanDuel provides for a team to win at least 10 games, to get to double-digit victories. Well, they're plus 135 to the over of 9.5 wins. They're plus 130 to win at least 10 games. It's a 5-cent difference, but might as well take the over of their team win total at plus 135 in that moment. But it allowed me to look at something that I found very interesting as well. We have been saying, Joe, all offseason long that the AFC is much more difficult of a conference than that of the NFC. Joe, there are 13 teams right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook that have a minus money price next to their name to win at least 10 games. 13 teams in total, but only 5 from the NFC, 8 from the AFC. It goes to show you how difficult the AFC is going to be. If you have 8 teams, Joe, that win 10 games, as the odds indicate, not all 8 of those teams can make the postseason. There's only 7 available spots, and given where they might fall within divisional standings, we're not going to see all of these teams that are favored to win 10 games into the AFC postseason. It is going to be a true gauntlet, Joe, and that's reflected in the odds, but might present an opportunity for some of those teams in the NFC to have an easier path to the playoffs.
Totally agree, Ben. And I'm going to go to 3 right now that have great value. Consider this. You mentioned the AFC. You know, the top team in the AFC last year was Tennessee. They are plus 120 to win 10 games with Derrick Henry coming back and Treylon Burks taking over for A.J. Brown. And you're high on Cincinnati. Well, you're high on that plus 210 to win the division. Well, they're basically almost minus 110 to just win 10 games. And I understand that the schedule is difficult, but you give me T. Higgins, even though he comes back from an injury later in the year, you give me Jamar Chase, Mixon, and Joey Silk Burrow, I'll take that any day of the week. And Minnesota at plus 125, sign me up right now.
I like that plus 125 on the Vikings, especially as Joe has talked me in. Maybe the idea that the Vikes could be a playoff team in 2022. If they're going to make the playoffs, you got to think they win somewhere around 10 games. We'll come back for one final segment on Football Full Circle on this Thursday on Sports Grid Radio. Stay with us up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back on Football Full Circle live on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. We're about to close out today's show. I'm Ben Stevens. He's Joe Lisi. And as we end things here, Lisi, it's the end, it seems, of an NFL career for Ryan Fitzpatrick. The man known as Fitzmagic, it appears, is retiring from the game of football. He played 17 NFL seasons, threw for nearly 35,000 career yards, over 220 career passing touchdowns, doing all of this as a former seventh-round draft pick out of the University of Smart Kids. That would be Harvard. Some of the best moments on and off the field from the one known as Fitzmagic, calling it a close to a legendary NFL career.
And I guess Fasano was wrong, our great executive producer, yeah, right, in terms of him buckling up for the New York Giants or Jets this year. But I'll ask you this, Ben. A dynamic career for Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, 18 years in the NFL and a majority of them as a starter. Think about that, right? It's incredible when you think about it. Three jobs come to mind. NFL Network as an analyst, Jeopardy as a host, obviously, or WWE. Which one do you think Fitz goes to?
Maybe we have him as our third co-host here, Joe, on Football Full Circle. Maybe the grid reaches out to old Fitzmagic, and we get a little bit of that here on the Sports Grid Network. What do you say to that?
Let's get the beard with us. I'll grow one for a week.
You'll grow a beard? Joe Lisi, how does it look when you grow a beard? I got a beard.
I don't know.
Not
never,
quite
never
the length
have.
And luster. You've never grown a beard in your life?
Nope.
Never grown a beard in your life, but this is Lisi's promise. Everybody listening out there, if Ryan Fitzpatrick starts working for the Sports Grid Network, Joe Lisi grows a beard. Is that correct, Joe?
During football season only, yes.
During football season only. More stipulations to the rule. Fitz, if you're out there and you're hearing this, come work for the grid, baby. We bleed the winning edge. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. This has been Football Full Circle on a Thursday. The Money Line with Donnie Wrightside is up next on Sports Grid Radio.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Even though severe cases can be rare, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is still the leading cause of hospitalization in babies under one. RSV often begins like a cold or the flu, but can quickly spread to your baby's lungs. Ask your doctor about preventative antibodies for your baby this season and visit protectagainstrsv.com. The information presented is for general educational purposes only. Please ask your healthcare provider about any questions regarding your health or your baby's health.
Even when you're playing music, you're always listening to your baby, especially when RSV is on your mind. Beyfortus, nirsevimab ALIP, is the first and only long-acting preventative antibody that gives babies the RSV antibodies they lack. Beyfortus is a prescription medicine used to help prevent serious lung disease caused by RSV or respiratory syncytial virus in babies under age 1, born during or entering their first RSV season, and children up to 24 months who remain at risk of severe RSV disease through their second RSV season. Your baby shouldn't receive Beyfortus if they have a history of serious allergic reactions to Beyfortus, nirsevimab ALIP, or any of its ingredients. Tell your baby's doctor about any medicines they're taking and all their medical conditions, including bleeding or bruising problems. Serious allergic reactions have happened. Get medical help right away if your child has any of the following signs or symptoms of a serious allergic reaction, such as swelling of the face, mouth, or tongue, difficulty swallowing or breathing, unresponsiveness, bluish color of skin, lips, or under fingernails, muscle weakness, severe rash, hives, or itching. Most common side effects include rash and pain, swelling, or hardness at their injection site. Individual results may vary. Ask your baby's doctor about Beyfortus. Visit Beyfortus.com or call 1-855-BEYFORTUS.